Bless God. He's good, isn't he? Do you not sure about that? You know, God is good no matter what's going on around us. He loves us, he cares for us, and he's got good things for us. Turn to the person next to you. Just tell them, God's got something good for you today. You may be seated. How long have I got, David? 40 minutes. Oh. I'm only joking. Yeah, you're right, Phil. That's just the introduction, yeah. Yeah, I remember when we were allowed to preach for an hour and a half, and I would go for an hour and three quarters, you know. So they used to say I was a long-winded preacher. I hope that was a compliment, but I'm not sure. You know, the last time I was sharing with you, I was encouraging you that times of generational change are challenging times. You know, I don't know whether you realize it, but we are living in a time of generational change. Just this last week, you know, we have said goodbye to two more giants in the kingdom. Yonggi Cho went to be with the Lord, and Colin Urquhart went to be with the Lord. You know, and as we mourn and miss Joe, we realize that giant after giant, Reinhardt earlier in the last year, you know, are going to be with the Lord. And there is an onus now on us. Are we going to settle for what the previous generation won for us? Or are we going to make their summit our base camp and go on to greater things in God, to take God's kingdom to greater heights? I want to encourage you this morning. It's time for every one of us to step up. And I'm not just talking to those of you on the front row. I'm talking to you, those hiding at the back there. I can see you, but God's calling you to step up. It's time for every member of God's kingdom to step up and to go for even greater things. You know, if we are going to build on the legacy that Joe left us, it's important that we take account of where we are and recognize there is no appendix in the kingdom of God. You know, if you have a problem with your appendix and it bursts, the doctors will tell you, oh, well, it doesn't do anything. You don't need it. We can remove it. There is no appendix in God's kingdom. There is nothing in God's kingdom that is meant to be doing nothing. Every one of us has a purpose and a plan. You know, I want to look at a number of examples of where the next generation moved on to do more than the previous generation in the Bible. We can see this in the life of Elisha. And now Elisha desired a double anointing. He desired double of what Elijah had. And one day Elijah was going past and he was plowing the field. And Elijah threw his mantle on him. And Elisha's response was to give up everything and follow him. And he burnt his oxen, and he followed Elijah. And Elijah said, what are you doing? Go back. And he said, no, I'm going to follow you. Because he recognized in that moment that God had got a plan for his life and had something for him to do. And he desired to not only do what Elijah had done, but to do twice. He wanted double the anointing. And if you read on through the story of Elisha, you will find out that he did 28 miracles in comparison to the 14 miracles that Elijah did. He took that anointing and did double what his predecessor, his mentor, had done. And he was able to do that because he followed his mentor wholeheartedly. He gave everything. He sacrificed his oxen. He had decided. He'd set the course of his life. He wasn't going back. He had made sure there was nothing for him to go back to. And he was going to follow Elijah and see God's plan for him fulfilled. And numerous times during his life, Elijah said to him, you just wait here. You stay here. And he said, no, I'm not stopping here. I'm following you. And Elijah said to him, when he said, I want double the anointing, he said, if you see me taken into glory, you'll receive double the anointing. I don't know about you, but when chariot and horses come flaming down from heaven, there's a lot to distract you. I don't know whether you'd have been looking at Elijah or the chariot and the horses, you know, but he didn't. He kept his eye on Elijah. And when that mantle fell from Elijah's hand, he walked over and he picked it up. And there was no doubt in his mind. He stepped out in faith, he grabbed that mantle, and he walked back to the Jordan, and he hammered the Jordan and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And the Jordan opened, and he walked through, announcing that he had taken up that anointing and that he was going to do everything that God planned for him. Are you ready to take up the anointing that's in this place? Are you ready this morning to step out in faith? Because God has got a role for every one of us. Elisha stepped into that double anointing. We heard from Pastor Aisha last week. Moses, having died, having brought the children out of Egypt through the Red Sea and the desert to the Jordan at the very border of the Promised Land, dies. You know, I'm sure both Elisha and Joshua felt the loss of their mentors. But Joshua looks and says, "I know what my role is. My role is to build. Moses brought us out of the desert, out of the wilderness, out of Egypt. He brought us through the Red Sea. But my job is to take us into the Promised Land." You know, God has got promises for each and every one of us. And our job is to step up, as Elisha said last week, to step up, to arise. One of you's excited. Or are you all a bit like Tina was saying, you know, "Oh, Lord, you know, I'm not too sure about this." Thank you, Tina. You encouraged me this morning. They needed to arise. Aisha told us that. To be willing to step up and step into the Promised Land. It was time to go through the Jordan and enter into everything God had promised them. Turn to the person next to you, tell them, "It's time to step up." They had to take action. They had to step into the promise. And that is true for every one of us. The promises we have in God have to be stepped into by faith. You know, I want to tell you, sometimes that's not comfortable. If you find moving in faith comfortable, tell me how to do it. Because when I move in faith, it's not comfortable at all. It's challenging. Sometimes it's frightening. But I want to tell you, when you can tell the stories afterwards, it's exciting and thrilling. And God wants us to be a people who have stepped up and stepped out in Him. Amen. Sorry, my nose. Elisha and Joshua stepped into what God had. Now, God gave Joshua some very specific commands. He also gave him some very specific promises. And it's important for us today that we remember those things, because I think they're as relevant for us as they were for the people of the God. He told them to be bold and courageous. You know, and he said, "Then you will enter into everything that I've given you." He said, "Be strong and be courageous." You know, if my wife tells me something more than once, I realize it's important. Now, you wives, you probably, if you've got husbands like me, you probably tell them things more than once. You know, Kim normally tells me things more than once if I'm going shopping for her. She'll say, "Tim, I want you to get A, B, and C." And I say, "Yeah, love, I'll get A and B." She said, "Do you want me to write that down for you?" I said, "No, I can remember A, B, and C." And as I'm sort of getting my gear ready, she said, "Tim, what have you got to get where you're out shopping?" I go, A, C. She said, "But what about B?" I said, "Yeah, A, B, and C." And then as I'm walking out the door, she say, "Tim, what have you got to get shopping?" And I go, A, B, and C. She said, "Yes, don't forget it." When I get home, she says, "What did you get?" I said, "I got A and B." She said, where's C? I said, was there a C? You know, people tell us things more than once because they want us to remember what they're saying. You know, when God said to Joshua, only be strong and courageous, he told him three times that he needed to be strong and courageous. Have you ever wondered why he told him three times to be strong and courageous? Do you think perhaps it might have been because circumstances would come along which would make him feel anything but strong and courageous? You know, when I became a Christian, I came into Christianity on what I call the cherry pie ministry. You know, the evangelist spoke and he said, if you come to Jesus, all your problems will be solved. You know, Jesus loves you and you'll love Jesus and everything will be wonderful. You know, and I realized after about week two, that wasn't true. God didn't take my problems away. He took me through my problems. And there were times where I needed to trust him and be strong and courageous. Three times, God says to Joshua, only be strong and courageous. And he says, then you will have success wherever you go and whatever you do. You know, the children of God had to move out in faith. You know, the Bible says, James 2, verse 26, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also is faith without works dead. You know, it's time for us to step up, to arise, as Aisha said, and to step in faith into all that God has for us. God promised Joshua that he would not fail them or forsake them. He promised that he would be with them wherever they went. I love being a New Testament Christian because we have a better promise. God didn't just promise to be with us. He said, I will send my spirit to be in you. He's not just with us, he's in us. He's intimately involved in every one of our lives. You know, we have a better promise. Joshua 1, verse 6 to 9, he said, be strong. This people to be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will make your way prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times he says to him, be strong and courageous. He says, if you're strong and courageous, you will make your way prosperous. You will have success. Who wants to be successful? Put your hand up. Are you swapping microphones? Am I not loud enough, brothers? Put your hands up. Do you want to be successful? What does the word say you should do? Be strong and courageous to do everything God's word says. He says, if you meditate on it, if you think about it, if you ask God how this is relevant to your situation and what you're going through at this moment in time, he said, then you, that's you, and you, and you, will make your ways successful. Then you will be prosperous in all you do. You know, I hear Christians say, oh, well, God's not doing it. God didn't say he was going to do it. He said, if you do this, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. You know, if we want to enter into God's promises, there is an onus on us to arise
and do what God commands us. You know, it's in those difficult times we need to be strong and courageous and be careful to do what God's word said. It was in those times that Joshua needed to speak out God's word. You know, when challenging circumstances come our way, we need to speak out God's word. You know, I remember we were coming out of the Ukraine one day, and we got to the border, and they literally took our car to pieces. All the doors came off, all the door linings came off. They were looking to see whether we were smuggling anything out of the Ukraine. Who would want to smuggle anything out of the Ukraine? They haven't got anything. You know, that's sad. It is sad because the nation is in a terrible state. But they were checking we weren't smuggling. But the consequence of it meant we spent 4 hours at the border. And my friend was with me. And he said, "We're going to miss our flight home. I'm not going to see my children." And I looked at him and I said, "Slava, shut up. You can see I'm a good pastor." I said, "Shut up." He said, what are you talking about?" I said, "If you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. We're going home." He said, "But Tim, there's no chance. We're 4 hours late. We're not going to get to the airport on time." I said, "I told you, Slava, shut up." And he looked at me. He wasn't used to me speaking him quite that way. You know, some of you need to be told to shut up. Some of you are confessing terrible things. You want to... I pray that you have crop failure sometimes. Because what I hear some say, you don't want to reap that harvest. We got to the airport and all the departure gates are closed and Slava goes, "I told you we're going to miss our plane." I said, "Slava, I've told you." And I'm sort of squeezing my hand. I said, "I've told you, Slava." I go over to the checkout, there's a man, a security guard, I said, "What's happened to the check?" He said, "It's closed." I said, "But we want to go home." He said, "But they've shut the computers down." I said, "But are they still here?" He said, "I'll check." And he picked up his phone. He said, "Yes, they are. They're going to come back down." The lady came down. She booted up the computer. She checked us in. We walked through security into the departure lounge just as the last person left the departure lounge to get on the plane. And we followed her down the queue and we got on that plane because I'm confessing where I'm going. I'm not confessing what I'm seeing. You know, God's called us to be strong and courageous and speak out his word. I'm speaking out that God's got a plan in mind. His plan that day was for me to get on that plane. And Slava benefited from his plan for me. Because he didn't say anything or do anything to get himself on that plane. You know, we need to remember God's word when time gets tough. We need to stand on his word and confess his word. Now, as we stand at this point in change, it's clear that we need to be strong and courageous. It's clear we need to pray for the time to slow down as well. We need to pray and be strong and courageous. I'm sure both Elisha and Joshua had those points where they became fearful, where they questioned perhaps, but each of them stepped into what they had because they did what God commanded for them. You know, the same will be true. It's time for each of us to step into what God's promised us. Every one of us has a part to play, a destiny to step into. Now, at the beginning of Acts, we see another point of transition. Luke tells us that after Jesus' death, and resurrection that he appeared to the disciples on many occasions over a period of 40 days, telling them of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So we read in Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, we're told, the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful. You know, you've seen Jesus and you're still doubtful? No wonder some of us have doubts. And Jesus came to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Then if we turn over to Mark 16, verses 14 to 18, Jesus, we're told, appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table. And he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and been baptized in my name shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who've believed in my name. They will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. And then in Acts 1, verse 4, we're told, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. And if we go down to verse 8, he carries on. He says, you will receive power when the Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. Now, in these passages, Jesus passes on the baton to us as a generation. He passes, and says, that'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? If you three saw 3,000 people each saved in a day, well, Aisha would have a problem, wouldn't she? Because this building wouldn't be big enough. The pastoral team might have a problem as well. You know, we just think too small. You know, God told me a few years ago, expect great things from me, do great things for me. You know, I want to encourage you. These are times when we need to step up and start expecting great things from God and be prepared to do great things for him. Amen. Secondly, it's the power to witness is a baptism of healing. You know, we find Peter and John going into the temple. They're just on a normal day. They're going to the temple to pray. And this guy starts begging and saying, give us something. And they think, well, we've got no money. But then Peter says, yeah, but we have got something. And he says, we don't have silver and gold, but what we do have, we're going to give you. And he grabs him by the arm and drags him to his feet, and he is healed instantly. You might think, well, why would I say that at a time like this? Because it's time to step up. You know, we're disappointed at Joe's death, but he's in a better place. And you know, I know that he wouldn't want us stepping back from biblical principles. It's time for us to declare, we believe this. We believe it and we're going to see it. And to use our disappointment as a springboard for our future success. We cannot afford to set a doctrine on our failures. We have to get hold and our doctrine by what God's word says. And he says these signs will follow those that believe. You know, being a witness for God is about moving in power. And that can be as simple as saying to your friend, can I pray for you? You know, I quickly want to move to my last point because It was where they asked me to start, Joshua 2. You know, I read this, and it's awesome. You've got this woman, Rahab, and she has brought the spies into her house and protected them. And she saved them from certain death. When they've gone in, Moses sent them in to spy out the land. But this woman has an eye on the future. She's a woman of faith. And she says, I know that your God is going to give you this land. That's a statement of faith, isn't it? She says, I know. And God wants to see them saved. And I want to stir you up this morning. God didn't just want to save you. He wanted to save you and your household. You know, I prayed for my parents for 30 years. And in their 80s, they finally gave their lives to Jesus. I'm still praying for my sister. You know, we had a friend called Angela. When we first got saved, Kim and I first got saved. And she read through the book of Acts and she told us that she had seen that time and again, this person and their household were saved. And she said, I'm believing God for my household. And within 1 year, her mum and dad had got saved. Within 18 months, her brothers had got saved. Her and her household came to know Christ. You know, we have been given power to be witnesses. To be witnesses of all that God has done in our lives and through our lives and in the lives of other people around you. And I want to encourage you, don't leave this place today without determining in your heart that this week you will be a witness to God and all that he's done in your life. That you will say to him, I'm willing. You know, because if we just sing the songs and we don't do the acts, we're deluding ourselves. It's great that Tina can lead us in great songs, great confessions. But if we leave it here when we go out there, it means nothing. And there's a world that's fearful. There's a world that's been shaken to its very core out there. They're feeling insecure. They're wondering what the future holds. And I believe this pandemic has changed the paradigm of our nation. The people I am speaking to are open to hearing the gospel message. And it's time for us to step up and step out and take the opportunities that God gives us. Now, some of those opportunities might be that we need to speak up, and that's great. Some we might need to just do someone good, and that's great. But some we might need to move or be ready to move in power. You know, I have had opportunities to pray with people because they've told me there's something ill, you know, there's something wrong with them. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And when they were healed, it created opportunities to speak to them about a faith. I remember years ago, we prayed for a lady with lung cancer, and she was healed completely. The week later, she phoned me up. She wasn't a believer, and she said to me, Tim, will you come to my house for coffee? I said, why? She said, I've invited 10 of my friends to come and hear what you've got to say. I said, why? She said, well, they're sick as well, and they need healing. And I told them that your God healed me. You know, when we start moving in God's power, evangelism or witnessing becomes easy. Let's stand, shall we? I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. If you are ready to arise and step out into all that God has planned for you, then I just want you to quietly say to God, I'm ready. I'm ready to do whatever you ask me to do, Lord. I'm ready to speak to whatever situation you bring in front of me. Lord, I want to recommit my life this morning to fulfilling your call to be a witness. To be a witness for you at work, Lord, with all that that might mean. You know, the devil will come along and say, oh, you can't share your faith at work. They won't like it. Well, maybe there'll just be a price to pay for sharing your faith at work. You might think, well, I can't share my faith with my family. I can't tell them. No. Now's the time. We need to step up. We need to be ready. Whatever's gone before, to get out there and be witnesses to Jesus. It's no longer time to hide in the Corelli Institute or the upper room. It's time to step out and be bold and courageous and to do what God's commanded us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person standing right now, Lord. I pray that you will anoint them afresh with your Spirit this morning, Lord. That they might know the power to be witnesses in this city, in this nation, and in the nations of the world, Lord. Father, stir up those dreams that you've placed in people. The dreams that have become stagnant, Lord. Dreams that have lacked power, Father. Father, I pray right now that those dreams will once again be stirred in their hearts, Father. And Father, that we will be men and women who don't just see one or two get saved, but that we see whole households get saved. Father, I want to pray for my household, Lord. My sister, my brother-in-law, my niece, my nephew, and their families. You might want to pray for your families at this moment. Father, we pray that your word will flow into their lives. Father, we pray that you will give us opportunity to speak into their lives, Lord. That we might follow the example of Rahab, who wanted her household saved, Lord. That we might follow the example of the New Testament believers who came to know you, Jesus, with their households, Lord. And that we might see our households come to know you. In Jesus' name we ask this, Lord. Amen. Is there anyone here this morning that you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, but you'd like to know him? Is there? If there is, just put your hand up where you are. I don't want to finish a single meeting these days without giving someone the opportunity. You know, guys, we need to recognize if there's no one here that doesn't know Jesus, how will they get saved? I read a survey recently that said if you just asked, if a person was asked by a friend if they would come to church with them, 25% of the people said, yes, they would. You know, we need to ask and start asking people to come, that they might experience what we've experienced. Amen. God bless you.